Today. Glad to see you here with me in the land of the living once again. If you can hear my voice, then God has given you yet another chance to make good with your life this morning, and you should be happy about that. But I'd really like to start off today with a dedication, a small dedication to those who are no longer with us. I want to dedicate this show to some very special individuals. These very special individuals have left a legacy that I think we can all be proud of. That's right, I said legacy. Please allow me to read their names aloud. Please allow me to ring their names, to read their names aloud, excuse me. Marine Corps Staff Sergeant Darren T. Hoover of Salt Lake City. He was 31 years of age. Marine Corps Sergeant Johanny Rosario Pichardo of Lawrence, Massachusetts. She was only 25 years old. Marine Corps Sergeant Nicole L.G. of Sacramento, California. She was only 23 years old. Marine Corps Corporal Hunter Lopez of Indio, California. He was only 22 years old. Marine Corps Corporal Dagan W. Page of Omaha, Nebraska. He was 23 years old. Marine Corps Corporal Humberto A. Sanchez of Logansport, Indiana. He was 22 years old. Marine Corps Lance Corporal David L. Espinoza of Rio Bravo, Texas. He was 20 years old. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Jared M. Smits of St. Charles, Missouri. He was only 20 years old. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Riley J. McCollum, we'll hear more about him later, of Jackson, Wyoming. He was 20 years old. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Dylan R. Merola of Rancho Cucamonga, love that name, California. He was only 20 years old. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Kareem N. Nikui of Norco, California. He was 20 years old. Navy Hospitalman Maxton W. Soviak of Berlin Heights, Ohio. He was 22 years old. Army Staff Sergeant Ryan C. Noss of Corryton, Tennessee. He was 23 years old. These are the 13 very young men and women who were the last to lose their lives in Afghanistan. They were murdered by a group of despicable terrorists who view freedom just a little bit differently than we do here in America. Our legacy is better as a result of these soldiers existing. I am dedicating this show to them because that's all I can do. That's all I can do. I'm not courageous enough to stand by their side in battle. I'm too fearful to put my life in danger the way that they did. So that's why my role is to sit here and talk about the real heroes of our lifetime. It will be said that their names will never be forgotten by the people of our nation, but that's not true. The truth is that their names will be forgotten. Everybody gets forgotten over time, especially soldiers. And maybe that's why they are heroes, because they know when they sign up, they know that their names will be forgotten when they sign
Jamal,
up for the military.
Jamal.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let me add one name, all right? It's a soldier that died in Vietnam. All right, in my lifetime, he was a helicopter pilot, and he was hit by a North Vietnamese howitzer, and it was nothing while he was in the air. His name is William Murphy.
William Murphy.
I have never forgotten his name, and last month I had the honor to visit the Vietnam Memorial, and I found his name. And I will never forget this man's name.
It is fantastic to have someone that has some experience with history on the show with me today. Please welcome Dr. Mack, everybody, calling in from
Glad
Florida.
To meet you.
We're going to get right into that. Their legacy, including your man Murphy, is his last name, I believe. Their legacy will not be forgotten because it's tied to the legacy of America. What these young soldiers were doing in their last day of life represents what America was doing in their same last days of life. And what was that? What was that? They were saving lives. They were rescuing people from a tyrannical regime, Americans and Afghans both. As a side note, let me just say as a side note, I never knew that Afghanistan was such a desirable vacation spot for Americans. But okay, I guess Myrtle Beach can get a little bit boring. Back to my point, these soldiers were the arms of America pulling in these Afghans who stood beside us. These soldiers were making a safe way for Americans to get back home. In fact, I have a clip for you. I have a congressional representative, Seth Moulton. You might not have ever heard from him before, but he ran for president at one point, and his anonymity shows how unsuccessful he was. He has been in the news recently because he is one of two lawmakers who just kind of popped up in Afghanistan during the evacuation just to see what was going on. He pissed off a lot of people with that move, but in this clip, Representative Seth Moulton tells us what he saw from our troops in Afghanistan while he was there. Listen close.
But I don't want to lose sight of the heroism of these Marines, because in spite of this terrible position that they were put in, they were doing unbelievable work. I mean, literally sifting through this sea of humanity to find our allies, feet from the Taliban with their horsewhips, and putting little Afghan boys and girls on their shoulders, holding brave Afghans who stood by our side by the hand and carrying them to freedom. I mean, I expected to see a gate with Afghans on one side and Americans on the other, but no, the Marines had to go out there in the face of this danger. And maybe the most amazing thing is that their friends, their fellow Marines, after they were killed, went out and continued to do that mission. I was in touch with some of them just last night, continuing to do that mission, literally risking their lives for others.
Did you hear that? You heard that, Matt?
Yeah, I heard it.
Did you hear? Literally, this group of people that I named earlier, these soldiers died while serving liberty. And then they were killed. After they were killed, their brothers and sisters in the armed forces covered their positions and became even more committed to achieving the same mission to deliver liberty. They represented America serving liberty. Now, Mac, if I go to the store, you say go to the store, and I dine with the store, and then the bishop sends you and says, yo, I want you to take his position, you might have some problems with that. You know what I'm saying? But they just saw their brothers die. They just saw their brothers get blown up, and they immediately took the position like, we must continue the mission saving these people. Isn't that something? Let me ask you.
Something.
Is there any better way to die? Because you know we all have to die, right?
There's a saying that I'd rather die for cause rather than be cause.
That's right. Most of us will die over nothing. Perhaps we owe a close friend $500. Or maybe we got a little too close to another man's woman. You heard the stories. You've been around. I've always figured I'd die in a slip and fall accident in somebody else's bathtub myself. But these soldiers, they all gave their lives while bringing liberty to others. And that legacy is one that will never be forgotten because we all share it. Liberty is the ideal that we all share, and legacy is our magic word for the day. Please stay with me if I explore the idea of legacy. And by the way, everybody knows that the military can be tied to politics. Everybody knows that not every war is popular. In fact, this war in Afghanistan was not popular at all. Not every war is justified, nor does every war feel justified. Sometimes our military can become politicized. But these 13 fallen heroes, the last to die in Afghanistan, were just there to provide freedom. That's why I'm dedicating this broadcast to them. Because freedom is a bipartisan venture in America. Or at least it's supposed to be. It damn sure is on the Jamal Show, I can tell you that for sure.
Well, let's not forget that freedom is never free.
It's never free. And that is an old-timer statement, so I know you're older than me. But it is true, though. The reason why it's an old-timer statement is because it has remained true that freedom is not free. By the way, I have endangered my life before for others, but it was a little bit different. Just this past week, I was driving down the road with my cousin during Hurricane Ida. Now, you remember Hurricane Ida, don't you, folks? It's the reason you now own a waterbed. Well, last week during that storm, my cousin and I were driving in Hartford, and we came across this puddle in the road. Now, I knew the road pretty well. This was in Hartford by those houses I took you by the other day, Matt. And I didn't think it was that deep. I actually thought my little mini SUV could handle it. But as we approached the middle of that puddle, the water started rising up towards the hood of the damn car. I began to feel like I was driving through a... I got that feeling I was driving through a lake. My cousin and I both started getting a little bit nervous, and I started thinking about all those cars that you see stuck and floating in the middle of streams and lakes on the news. You ever see that, Mac, on the news, where you see a car in the middle of... You're like, how did that car get there?
All the time.
How did that car get there? I'll tell you how I got there. I'm in the middle, and my engine starts conking out, so I'm able to back up, and... I was able to back up out of the lake, and I'm like, wow, that's how people get into those lakes, right? And yeah. I think I saved our lives. But that didn't make me a hero, because I'm the one who put us in danger in the first place. You get that? So if I put you in danger and then save you, then I'm not really much of a hero. If we had died in that puddle, it would have been my fault. I just saved us from the peril that I created. On the contrary, these 13 soldiers were real heroes sent to Afghanistan to free people, and that's exactly what they did, up until the very minute that their lives came to an end violently. And by the way, now's a good time for me to get this out the way before we get into abortion later on. Hint, hint. Let me go ahead and give the Jamal Show Award for Excellence to our president. The Jamal Show Award goes to Joe Biden for fantastic leadership in getting us out. A fantastic leadership. I love that last part. Fantastic leadership in getting us out of an impossible war. He has ended the war with no end. It can only be... It takes the strongest of will to withdraw from Afghanistan. That's what it took. Only somebody with the will of steel could have done it, because so many people were against it. And Joe Biden had that will.
Well, but so many people had money involved in it, see, so...
That's true. Man, let me just tell you, what I learned this week... okay, so we had 1,000 soldiers near the end, right? 20,000 contractors were there, though. There were McMansions. There are McMansions in Afghanistan because of the American occupation. There are people in Afghanistan that made so much money off of money trickling in from the West to Afghanistan that there are McMansions there. 20,000 they had 20 times more contractors than they had soldiers in Afghanistan. That means it was a contractors' war. You understand?
Yeah.
And only somebody with the will of steel could have pulled out of there. But he also that wasn't all. That's not the only reason he's getting the award. He also had the appropriate response when 13 of our soldiers were killed by those desperate terrorists. I have that clip for you. Here's what the president said. Last week, let me see if I can find that. Yeah, last week after our 13 soldiers were killed, here goes.
To those who carried out this attack, as well as anyone who wishes America harm, know this. We will not forgive. We will not forget. We will hunt you down and make you pay. I will defend our interests and our people with every measure at my command. Here's what you need to know. These ISIS terrorists will not win. We will rescue the Americans in there. We will get our Afghan allies. America will not be intimidated.
Now, that sounds like a leader to me. Doesn't it to you, Matt?
Sounds like it to me.
I mean, you didn't see anything in there that you disagreed that you would have edited out, do you?
No, not at all. This man is committed.
That's right. And I don't want to hear nothing about all this, oh, he's demented. Oh, we're going to get to that in a minute. All presidents lose soldiers. And it's the worst aspect of every presidency. But since this speech, Joe Biden has already acted against our enemies. Yes, I say enemies, black or white. Those are our enemies. He has already silenced the group that sent the suicide bomber that killed our soldiers. He's already killed many of them. President Joe Biden has been swift with his vengeance. But that doesn't mean that everybody was happy with his decision to leave Afghanistan or the way he left. Many, many people of influence believe that America should have kept a small force in Afghanistan. Even more people think that we should have not let the Taliban rush us out of the country as if we lost. But what was the real legacy of America in Afghanistan? Did we exit as losers or winners?
Winners.
Why do you say that,
we
Matt?
We were winners. Well, because we accomplished our goal. And after we accomplished our goal, we needed to get out. It's just that there was so much money being spent, in my opinion, that they couldn't get out.
The influencers had something at stake in keeping the war going, is what you're saying.
Yes.
It sounds like you agree with Joe Biden. He says we didn't lose this war. He said we won the war and stayed too long afterwards. That's the problem. He said we just got distracted and started trying to nation build. That is our legacy in Afghanistan, according to Joe Biden.
We did not go there to nation build.
That is our legacy. Other people say that anytime we hand any country over to tyrants, we are ultimately the losers. I even heard one guy, he's influential, he said that we didn't fight a 20-year war. It was the same one-year war fought 20 times. Here's a perspective, though, that I know you're going to have a reaction to. You need to hear this. It's the perspective of a parent who has just lost a child due to decisions of a president. And here's a spoiler alert for you. She's very unhappy, just in case you couldn't figure that out. She is not happy with Joe Biden's leadership as it relates to her son. Her son is Marine Corps Lance Corporal Riley J. McCollum. This man was killed last week at just 20 years old. So, of course, his mother isn't happy. She's not happy with anything. She doesn't like anything right now.
Well, she's not happy right now. Let time come into play here.
Well, we'll see. I want you to hear what this mother's saying. I'm pretty sure I'd be angry right now if my son was sent overseas to die as well, but I wouldn't say the same things that this mother is saying. But I want you to hear her voice as one who has made the ultimate sacrifice. She's lost her son already. It's already done. He's not coming back. She is a new Gold Star family member. And if you don't know, the Gold Star family is the ones who have lost a child to someone to a service in the military. That's a highly respected group that nobody wants to join. I'm going to let her speak for herself now, and I'm not going to criticize her for making her son's death into a political event, so to speak, even though that's what she does. But I'll just let her speak, because all Americans should hear what this woman is thinking. Listen close.
My son was one of the Marines that died yesterday. Sorry, I'm on the radio.
Go ahead.
Son was one of the Marines that died yesterday. 20 years and 6 months old, getting ready to come home from Jordan to be with his wife to watch the birth of his son. And that feckless, dementia-ridden piece of just sent my son to die. I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning to Marines at my door telling me my son was dead. So, to have her on right before me and listen to that piece of talk about diplomatic with freaking Taliban terrorists who just blew up my son and know nothing, to not say anything about, oh my God, I'm so sorry for the family. So my son is gone, and I just want all you Democrats who cheated in the election or who voted for him legitimately, you just killed my son with a dementia-ridden piece of who doesn't even know he's in the White House. He still thinks he's a senator. So I'm going to try and calm down. I'm sorry.
So, Dr. Mack, I think she was talking to you.
Yeah. Well, you killed her son, my man. Anger is the first part of healing. She's in the healing phase right now. All right, so let her express her anger. Let her get it out. Okay?
Well, it's a little awkward.
But her son died a hero.
Her son died a hero, but she still found a way to blame Democrats. You know, it's funny. I wouldn't belittle my son like that, but like, oh, he must have died because of Democrats. I'd be like, nah, he died in war.
Come on, let's not forget that it was the previous president that said that they were going to be out by, what, May 30th? And so, I mean, that was the deal cut by the previous president. And that was thrown on Biden when he walked in the door. So he had to make that work. He gave the previous president gave America's word that we were going to be out.
The disingenuousness. I mean, I understand grief. Look. This woman was woken about 4:30 in the morning, which means they didn't even give her time to wake up and have coffee yet. They woke about 4:30 in the morning to tell her that her son was dead. And yo, think about this. your son is in another country, right? And everyone's leaving. And so you're like, whew, I'm glad that's over. Hey, son, just get in the car and we're good. I'll see you in Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? And then at 4:30 the next morning, you get told, oh, by the way, we had 13 unlucky souls get hit on the way out, and your son was one of them. Do you understand that kind of grief? Don't know. You know, it's one thing if someone dies of cancer or something like that, you know, the terminal illness, you're like, okay, Uncle John's probably going to go. But to think your 20-year-old son, she had it down to the month. Like 20 years, 6 months. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, let's not forget that these are volunteers. And he volunteered for this. He volunteered to follow his orders. And he did so faithfully. And for that, he is honored.
Legacy. And here's the important point. I was just about to get to that. I'm glad you were on the show today from Florida, because if he would have not died, you know what I'm saying? If he would have not died and then got a whole bunch of benefits, you know, later on, she would have claimed that he earned those benefits. And the reason why she would have claimed that he should have been right, because he went to war, you know what I'm saying? But I guess nobody ever thinks that their son's the one that's going to get hit, right? So the bottom line is, of course, he's pissed off. Her son is dead, and it's all about lashing out. And I hope it made her feel a little better. God bless her and her hero son. What a legacy he left.
God bless her.
Legacy right now, but I still have chores to do in order to keep my job on the station. And right now is the best time to perform them. Welcome to Saturday, my friends, the very next day of your life. This is the Jamal Show, the place to get intelligent, live and on your favorite podcasting network. My name, that's Jamal. I'm an information junkie from Harlem, and I'm passing the fruits of my illness on to you. Fortunately for you, once you are exposed, no booster shot can help eradicate your newfound love for intelligence. As for me, I'm your listener guide, mostly along for the ride, coming straight through the Hartford studios of WKND, and I'm doing that live. Up until the day that the Taliban celebrates Christmas, which means I will have a very long career in radio indeed. The revolution will be televised. It will be broadcast live and made into a podcast live on Amazon Music. Got to say hello to the bishop, who did not attend the Trump rally on the Capitol on January 6th, I believe. So he
is
not.
Wait a minute, Bishop, man. I didn't see you walking through the door, Bishop. No.
He made it through the Capitol. I'm going to carry the camera if he did.
Okay.
The Tony and speak for him on that. He's not worried about getting his phone record subpoenaed by Congress either, so that helps. Also, hello to you, Dr. Mac, who is joining us from the great state of COVID-19. How you doing, Mac?
Hey, I had to come down here, man, and see this crazy governor, man. You know, I mean, for some reason, I didn't get an audience, but I just wanted to see just what was going on. And I went out for dinner last night, and I was the only one with a mask. I was stunned. I mean, these people were elbow to elbow, maybe about 500 people in the room. No one wearing a mask with me. They looked at me like I was from Mars. Amazing.
You won't get to enjoy their world-famous hospital tour that they have in Florida. They have the tour of hospitals that they do, trying to find people to, you know, oxygen masks and stuff like that. So hopefully you're still healthy. You're staying healthy. You're down in, I believe the governor is Ron DeSantis, right?
Yes. Why do you have to, don't mention that name, man.
Vote for it. Hello to Deborah, our American Sign Language executive on the Jamal Show. She is running our Instagram Live page for all the deaf people out there who can't wait to hear the Jamal Show, the place to get intelligent. They can't wait to hear it. Deaf people, see what I did there? By the way, while we can be watched on YouTube or Facebook Live, I don't know about YouTube today, the sound is best by using a live radio app on your phone or laptop like Extreme Mix Radio, spelled with an X, or Simple Radio or TuneIn. Let me also remind you that we have an email club called the Think Tech Email Club. If you are a thinker, you will like it. And you can find that link on the Jamal Show Facebook page. Don't beat us, join us. That's what I always say. Now, it's been about 2 weeks since you heard my voice last. You last heard me talk to you about truth, and that is the truth. Today, my interest lies in my legacy. And later on, I'm going to talk to you about the legacy of abortion in America. But how will I pull this off? Well, I'll always do it by scheming and planning on how to get you all more intelligent. And it isn't easy with climate change bringing deadly weather at like every 5 minutes. I mean, hurricanes, tornadoes, fires, delusional Republicans. These are hard times, people. These are hard times. Anyway, here's some information that you can gladly pay me Tuesday for. The Jamal Show broadcasts live every 2 weeks on Saturdays, which is more than enough time for you to plan a picnic for Labor Day. And then coming up on Monday, I'm looking...
Jamal can eat. So, you know, be careful when you invite him because he will show up.
It helps to have beer. I don't laugh, but I am a Connecticut attorney with a new office phone number for the public. We're just getting into some personal injury now. The number is 860-200-8874. 860-200-8874. Please keep it off the bathroom walls. Okay? Thank you very much for that. Shout out to the Connecticut Bar Association and its president. I just met the president of the Connecticut Bar the other day at a Yard Goats game. Yes, I went to a Yard Goats game. So hello to Cecil.
What's a yard goat?
It's right, your apartment. It's funny. I ended up pointing your apartment out to a friend of mine while I was there. Dr. Mack lives right above the home of the Yard Goats, right here in the middle of Hartford. So it would have been nice for you to be there. Actually, would have brought you if you were in town, but unfortunately you weren't. Next time though, I met the the Connecticut Bar Association head Cecil J. Thomas. Maybe I can get a discount on my dues now. Who knows? If you came late to the party, I will remind you that this broadcast will soon be up on every podcast network that ever existed and ever will exist. Now, that's a huge lie. Of course it is, but we can make it all true with your help. So please share the gift of the Jamal Show with a loved one. Lastly, please know that my views do not represent the views of this station. This station looks at me the same way Afghan women look at the Taliban. So there's that. There will be no phone calls today because Dr. Mack is taking up the phone lines today from Florida.
That's right.
And let me remind you, Mack, that means you cannot rudely interrupt me today, as is your M.O.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that in my contract?
Remember that if we hang up on you, it was a mistake ahead of time.
Okay. All right.
Signal, Bishop. With that, it's time for you to take a break from me and me to take a break from you. I'll let you thank me later. The good news is that today is Mex Cortez Day. And I don't have any applause, but just imagine there's applause. Mex Cortez is a Tanzanian rapper with a Brooklyn sound. He made friends with the Jamal Show last year when he released this one hit called I Ain't Got Time for Trash. I'm going to play that right now, but here's a quick FYI for you. Last week, Mex Cortez released a brand new album called Monsoon Winds. You can listen to and buy the album on Bandcamp.com, BandCamp.com. So go check it out. Your ears will thank you. Later on in the show, I'll play his new single. It's called 10th Wonder. So please hang around for that. You won't be sorry. But again, this is his hit from last year. I Ain't Got Time for Trash. Why don't you groove to this and meet me on the other side of God? We're running out of time. Let's go.
I got this wish. Yeah, listen. Yeah, I wish every place I drop a bar of flower grows. With the smell of hope to empower those rappers dreaming to be the next big thing with a lot of O's. About switching for the industry, only a coward knows. You got content and you're choosing to rapping, but you're still small, so no interviews gonna happen. They gon' ignore you, cause the truth for the masses is when you make it big out there, they gon' claim you faster than you can imagine. Yeah, music is madness. We got the keys, but y'all refusing to have it. Got a fine girl by me and a booty of palace. Don't know if my duties are valid, and I'm truly embarrassed. She got goals, one of them is to soon get married, have kids so they can be proud to say the best rapper in Africa is only my daddy. While me and my brothers living the dream, just walking in Cali. Yeah, I wish if it was like that. Only if we didn't heavily cheer some light trash, so we could fight back and put Tanzanian hip-hop on the top of the charts. And that's the right path. But they won't understand you. All they ask you is can you pull a scandal and get more followers so we can handle getting a big crowd to you in a sponsored event. It ain't a gamble. Oh, wow, that's all it takes. No wonder everybody's doing music and the radio keeps playing them tracks with no taste. But for y'all, that's not the case. To see these fans get lost while they listen to some trash on replay, now they can't really tell what's back from the great. They just dance to the wave, but it's all good. While they're sleeping on me, I'ma make sure the people are gladly awake. You got dreams that ended. Yeah, you had your time, you trended. So please don't get offended, cause I ain't got time for trash.
Got time for trash.
You got dreams that ended. Yeah, you had your time to trend it. So please don't get offended, cause I ain't got time for trash.
Got time for trash.
The new trash you put out is flattering. You call it a hit, the numbers are staggering. It seems like a stolen idea, why you ain't answering? Y'all mixed up rappers need mastering. Sneak up on your favorite rapper, hopefully choking till he vocally broken. Cause I'm normally open, now y'all can just walk in the actual doors that y'all was supposed to enter before the barking. Now look who's talking. My scheme's got the goose to sparking. It's downhill for you. Mayday, do you copy? Got your YouTube flopping. Now who you stopping? I'm Ex Cortez, man. The new Rakim. I'm internationally known when I be on the mic. I think it's only right to teach lessons rather than giving them fool advice. Bars with hard knocks to the face. You gotta school them right. Yeah, meditation gotta clear my mind. Ain't nobody coming near my line. Sometimes I fear my mom won't be there to see me on the top. So I gotta move while I read my time. Yeah, I'm bilingual. Did you know I also rap in Swahili? Here you go, trending. Wasi wanini mitikati ya mjini na nifa michanzi ni wini. Kichwa kina pasi madini mawaki kwa chini. Hawanyanyuki tena si wapi na fasi miamini. Ipo wazi mijini wanashindwa kuhema. Staki kujua bari za nane anatoka na wema. Kungea ukweli naona sio jambo jema. Basi staki kuwa humble tena. I give life to these bars, this a new breed. Tell my eye we rule, that's what the truth is. Check the billboard carefully in a few years. If I'm not the one changing the game, I don't know who is. You got dreams that ended. Yeah, you had your time to trend it. So please don't get offended. Cause I ain't got time for trash.
Got time for trash.
You got dreams that ended. Yeah, you had your time to trend it. So please don't get offended. Cause I ain't got time for trash.
Got time for trash.
You got dreams that ended. Yeah, you had your time to trend it. So please don't get offended.
Hello again, my friends. That song is a dope song. It's called I Ain't Got Time for Trash by my good friend Mex Cortez. Happens to be the best rapper in Africa, and I don't think he'll mind me saying that. And I like the song. That song made our top five list here on the Jamal Show at around Christmas of last year. If you like it too, you can find it wherever you get your music online. Now, if you also have independent music and it's good, we'd like to hear it. If I like what I hear, I'll play it on my station here at WKND 97.5 FM. So shoot me an email with some tunes at the Jamal Show Radio, to Jamal Show Radio at gmail.com. Jamal Show Radio at gmail.com. And maybe you'll get lucky. What do you got to lose? Nothing. That's what. Moving on. It is most definitely a pleasure to have you back with us on the Jamal Show, the place to get intelligent on WKND and on podcast. Hello to my podcast friends. I am Jamal, your host with the most. I admit that I am a capital writer, meaning that I am forming a resistance against capital letters. Whenever I find myself on the side of the majority, it makes me pause and reflect. The day I was born is secondary only to the day I found out why I was born. I live every day slightly exhausted with a 100% chance of needing coffee. And I have never let my schooling get in the way of my education. Thank you for being with us on the Jamal Show. You're a much better person than I am because I would never, ever stand for this crap. Moving on. Abortion's in the news. Abortion's in the news, Mac. How's that for a transition?
That's a jump.
You're going to call me the king of transition. And again, the topic is abortion, as if I needed another reason for companies not to sponsor me. Abortion is legitimately the most divisive subject in the country. Abortion is the number one issue that divides Republicans and Democrats. Abortion has a legacy in America. And it's a tricky issue because both sides serve a moral purpose. If you're a pro-choice, meaning you believe in a woman's right to choose whether or not to carry her baby to term, well, that's a moral decision. You care about the woman's right to make her own decision without the threat of government force. And that's always nice. That's always nice. On the other hand, if you are pro-life, meaning that you feel that the life of the baby should come first, well, that too is a moral position to have. That means that you believe that the prospect of a new life is much more than the vessel through which it comes, if for any reason that the new life is innocent. Now, it's true that America is generally a pro-choice country. There is a legacy of that here. That's a part of why it's legal in the first place. The Supreme Court generally follows the trend of the country on issues such as abortion and gay marriage. Gay marriage is a good example, in fact. But the ruling that makes this country pro-choice is flawed. The ruling that makes abortion legal in the United States is flawed. And I say that even though I am pro-choice. The ruling comes from a famous case, perhaps the most famous case of all, and it's called Roe versus Wade. Hard to say. The details aren't important, but the holding is important. The judgment is very important. The rule that comes from Roe versus Wade is that abortion is legal in America, period. That's a solid, pragmatic outcome. Abortion is generally legal, but the way they came to that ruling is not solid or logical at all. Under Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court adopted the view that the legality of abortion hinges on the viability of the fetus. In other words, the more independently human the fetus is, the more the government has an interest in protecting its life as a citizen. That means that once a woman is past a certain point in her pregnancy, she can no longer legally have an abortion, because at that point, the fetus is viable enough to have its own life protected. The problem with this rule is that nobody really knows. Nobody knows when a fetus becomes viable. It's kind of one of those questions only God can answer. When does that lump in your belly actually become a baby? Nobody really knows. Some babies are born premature and still live, even though 9 months haven't passed. You certainly can't abort a baby after it's fully viable or born. That would be murder, right? But in fact, a lot of people, including me, would make the argument that once sperm fertilizes the egg, it's a baby. I do realize that science can't back me up on that, but science doesn't know the answer either. I should also say that I've been pro-choice for most of my life. I still am pro-choice, because pragmatically, how do you force a woman to carry a baby for 9 months, even if that is the law? What are you going to do? Use cops? Send cops to every pregnant woman's house? Oh, you're still pregnant? Good. Let's move on. On the other hand, I lost a baby. I lost a baby against my will, named Simon, to sudden infant death syndrome. And experience like that can make a man much more pro-life. So admittedly, I struggle with the issue of abortion. I personally couldn't imagine aborting a baby at this point in my life. But that doesn't mean that there aren't legitimate reasons why someone else wouldn't consider it. The point is this. Once a baby is viable to the federal government, it possesses rights, including the right to live. So that rule stops anybody from having an abortion past a certain period in the pregnancy. But that rule also allows states to restrict abortions to earlier dates. Like before a woman knows that they're pregnant. A state can restrict abortions to before then. And this roundabout way, a state can eradicate or severely limit the right to an abortion. That's what Texas is doing right now. And as of now, there are no operating abortion clinics in Texas because of this law. That's why abortion's in the news right now, because of what Texas is doing. And that's what Texas legislators, that's what the lawmakers want in Texas. They really want to outlaw abortion. They can't do it, but they can make it so hard that nobody can get one. That's what they're doing right now. To make a long story short, no state can eradicate abortion, but they can restrict abortion. And that's why abortion is in the news right now. Because the state of Texas has restricted abortion to the point where it'll probably be eradicated in that state. Let me talk to you about the law for a minute, because it's really interesting. Mac, have you heard about this?
Let me know.
In Texas, that disallows abortion after 6 weeks into a pregnancy. A lot of people don't even know they're pregnant.
Right. A lot of women don't even, and that's based on whether or not there's flitter in a certain blood vessel, which would become the heart in the future.
A lot of people don't know they're pregnant after 6 weeks. And that becomes a problem if a woman wants to preserve her right to not carry the baby. Also, I know I joked about cops enforcing prohibition on abortion, but in Texas, this is the clincher. In Texas, they found an even more horrible way to enforce their restrictions on abortion. And here it is. Any woman who breaks the Texas restrictions on abortion can be sued for damages up to $10,000 by any citizen. Any woman who gets an abortion after the 6 weeks can be sued for damages by any citizen. You hear that? There are no exceptions to the restrictions either. So let's take a case. Let me give you an example. You are sexually assaulted and you don't find out you're pregnant for 6 weeks. Too bad, so sad, you have to carry that baby. Let's say you were sexually assaulted by your dad. You have to carry his baby if you pass the deadline. Why? Why do you have to do that? Because strangers who don't know you don't want you to have that decision to abort. They want you to carry that baby. Meanwhile, they go around giving everybody else COVID-19 because, of course, Republicans never want to wear a mask. So what if you're 16 when you get impregnated? Too bad. The state says you have to be a mom at 16. If you miss the six-week deadline, especially, that's what I'm talking about. What does this mean? This means that sexual assault victims must carry the baby of their attacker for 9 months. There's no restrictions. There's no limits on the law. There's no exceptions. If you're sexually assaulted, which is the new word for rape, excuse me, people, you must carry the baby of your attacker for 9 months. If you don't want to carry the baby of your attacker for 9 months, you better get to the clinic within 6 weeks or the state won't allow any doctor to treat you.
Well, Jamal, there's going to be another way around this, and that is Plan B. Okay? That's the pill that a woman can take immediately after she has been assaulted and will terminate the life. Okay? All right? So Plan B, I mean, if you wanted to buy stock, you should buy stock in Plan B right now.
I mean, I don't even know that it's available in every state. You know, and doesn't it not have to be prescribed? I might be wrong on that. I didn't do research on Plan B, but that's a good point.
It doesn't have to be prescribed,
said the lone woman in the studio. This is why we hire women. The women's, they do good with information. Now, if someone finds a doctor that'll help her anyway, the law goes further. If someone finds a doctor that will help them anyway, after the 6 week, then the person who abused this woman can sue her for damages after she aborts the baby. So that means if you're sexually assaulted and you get pregnant, your attacker can actually sue you if you abort the baby. And the man who sues her can get $10,000 as a reward for suing her. That sound right to you?
Let me know. No, it does not.
Not only can a woman's abuser sue the woman for not carrying his baby under this new Texas law, but he can also sue anybody who helped her, including the doctor and the taxi driver who took her to the doctor for the abortion. So anybody can sue. It doesn't have to be your attacker. It could be your next-door neighbor. You and your next-door neighbor could be having a feud. You could be having this like problem in your life. Oh, you're pregnant. What do you do about it? And your next-door neighbor's like, I'm going to sue her if she gets an abortion. Your next-door neighbor can sue you because of your medical records. They can force their way into your life. I thought Republicans didn't like lawsuits. But anyway, by the way, the rapist, the sexual abuser, can also sue the girl's mother for giving her money to get to the doctor. This makes sense to them. This law allows for your neighbor to sue you if you have an abortion that they don't agree with. A stranger can sue you for what's in your private medical file. And this law comes from Republicans, the people who hate lawsuits, except for now, of course. This law comes from the same people who say that being forced to wear a mask is tyranny. Oh, I gotta wear a mask to go into your airline? That's tyranny. By the way, let's force a young girl to carry the baby of her mother's boyfriend who abused her. That's not tyranny. They're creating a private police force just for women. Of citizens, we got to watch these women. They might go have an abortion or something. This law will have people suing women for their medical decisions and getting $10,000 as a reward. That's the same incentive that draws bounty hunters. But let me tell you
something. We're back in the old witch trials, man.
I've been alive for what you might have been alive for. But just because I hate this new Texas law doesn't mean I want to see any more abortions. I know I'm not the only one who struggles with this idea of being pro-choice. I'm not the idea. Joe Biden does as well because he's a practicing Catholic. And as most people know, I'm sure you know, Matt, Catholics don't like abortion, right?
Indeed.
A reporter recently brought this up at a White House press briefing. I've got one more clip for you. I'm going to play it now. Let's see. It is this one.
Why does the president support abortion when his own Catholic faith teaches abortion is morally wrong?
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
Who does he believe then should look out for the unborn child?
He believes that it's up to a woman to make those decisions and up to a woman to make those decisions with her doctor. I know you've never faced those choices, nor have you ever been pregnant, but for women out there who have faced those choices, this is an incredibly difficult thing. The president believes their rights should be respected.
Now, I don't want to be male chauvinistic, but that was a little catty. Jen Psaki, a very good press secretary, she was a little catty with that one. She's like, yo, excuse me, you're a man, so why are you even talking? You know what I'm saying? Man in the room talking, please get him out of here. She sent security for him. And I apologize for the bad quality of the clip, but that's not what I want you to pay attention to. That's just how the sound came out of the White House briefing room. Did you hear what the reporter asked at the end? That is the crux of the whole abortion issue. He said, who does the president want to look out for the unborn child? Who looks out for the unborn child? Who will look out for the unborn child? That's the problem I have too, see? Someone needs to look out for the unborn child too, right? As much as I feel that a woman should be able to make a choice, doesn't someone have to look out for the interest of unborn children if the mother will not? I don't have an answer to this question. And even though I am pro-choice, this question still haunts me. Because if I were still an unborn child myself, I would certainly want someone looking out for me. Wouldn't you feel that way? Wouldn't you want someone to think seriously before throwing your life away due to circumstances that aren't your fault? I don't have the answers to the question of who looks out for the unborn child, but I firmly believe that someone should. And that's why pro-life people have some moral ground. This is not an easy issue for anybody. As for these new Texas abortion restrictions, I do not think they will last long. I think they are unsustainable. And I think they will cause a backlash against Republicans for the midterm elections coming up in 2022. But the point is that we need to find a balance where abortion is legal and extremely rare. Legal and rare. We aren't there yet. But we can't forget that someone needs to be looking out for the unborn child as well. These unborn children cannot speak for themselves. That's the point. I do know who should be looking out for you, though. And that dude's name is Mex Cortez, the best rapper in Africa. And he's got this new album called Monsoon Winds. It just came out last week. You can find that album on Bandcamp.com. And on that album, you will find this new hot single. It's called 10th Wonder. Tell me you like it. Please enjoy.
Black in this. Girl, you got me focused on the cream. Yeah. God making sure we on the scene. Yeah. You beside me when I'm working on my dream. Yeah. The day I make it, can't wait to see you scream. Yeah. All my head is busy watching memes. Yeah. That is rapper, but for you, I'm coming clean. My East African queen, yeah. I just see you in 17. Give me that thunder. I've been praying all day. You're my 10th wonder. You make the pain go away. Show me the way, my boo. Show me the way, my darling. Can't wait to say I do. You know I keep on falling. Show me the way, my boo. Show me the way, my darling. Can't wait to say I do. No, I keep on falling, falling for you, yeah, you, yeah, you, yeah, falling for you, yeah, you, yeah, you, yeah. Dansi mami, shuka kia ina flani, uko moto cheche, yani hauna utani. Mshapaga wisho, neza run the town, when it 10th wonder, kwangu number one. Nafasi yako ipo kwangu milele, si waoni hao wengine, baby ni wewe. Nishike kupele. Give me that thunder. I've been praying all day. You're my 10th wonder. You make the pain go away. Show me the way, my boo. Show me the way, my darling. Can't wait to say I do. You know I keep on falling. Show me the way, my boo.
way to advertise is here. Hi, my name is Isaiah Washington, and I'm the founder and CEO of LettuceAvail.com. I created an online database to help up-and-coming entrepreneurs grow their customer base, as well as a space for consumers to find the next best thing. So if you're an entrepreneur looking to advertise your business to more consumers, try LettuceAvail.com today. You can create your own customizable ads for consumers all over the nation to see. And if you're a consumer, LettuceAvail.com has a diverse category of services. Whether you're looking for an event planner for your next event, maybe a band for your wedding, or even a preacher for your next service, LettuceAvail.com has what you need. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at LetusAvail.com. It's time to avail.
And my friends, that song was 10th Wonder by my friend Mex Cortez. He is the best rapper in Africa. He's from Tanzania. By the way, he is listening, and I want to let you know, Mex, you're getting some good reviews online, buddy. I'm telling you, people are writing me back already. You can find his music wherever you get good music. If you like it, just remember you heard him first on The Jamong Show, the place to get intelligent. After the music, we were grateful to have some words from Ike Washington of LettuceAvail.com. That's the website where you can put make your favorite hustle into your good business. And you can use that to bring in some extra money to enjoy your life with. Make sure you check out LetUsAvail.com and go ahead and tell them Jamal sent you. It's 100% free, and they have this new smartphone app that'll make your experience quick and easy. Go ahead and try LettuceAvail.com today. You won't be sorry. Moving on. Once again, we're running out of time, and I want you folks very much to enjoy your Labor Day. That's the subject right now, and I want you to know a little bit about Labor Day. The first Labor Day holiday was celebrated on Tuesday, September 5th, 1882, around the time when Dr. Alfonso Mack was born. In New York City, it was, in accordance with the plans of the Central Labor Union. That's the Central Labor Union was the only union back at the time, and it planned for the first Labor Day. Now, by 1894, 23 more states had adopted the holiday. And on June 28th, 1894, President Grover Cleveland signed into law the first Monday in September will be the National Labor Day. And in case you have no respect for labor unions, you should. You should. Labor unions have been responsible for all types of benefits for working class citizens over the past century. And I'm going to name a few of them. Despite what the right-wingers have to say, unions are responsible for things like weekends off in the 40-hour work week, the end of child labor laws for those under 14, the end of child labor for those under 14. Child labor laws definitely exist. Unemployment benefits, those came from labor unions. Those were pushed by labor unions. Workers' compensation laws, employer-based health care, which I'm not a big fan of, but a lot of people wouldn't have health care if it weren't for that. The Family Medical Leave Act, which I was alive for, that was signed by Bill Clinton back in the 90s. So you should respect and support American labor unions, even though they have kind of a history of being racist. We all have to improve. At this time, I'd like to thank those who helped make this show possible. Joe Duncan, the best writer on Medium. Check out his articles on Medium. The kid is amazing. Deborah, our ASL chick. Dr. Alfonso Mack, who is about to get hung up on. You still there, Matt?
No, I'm right here. Don't you hang up on me.
I told you to hang up on him. All right, so we're going to... Anyway, the Bishop, Todd Bless, and Angel Sanchez, the DJ down in Florida, who actually makes this into a podcast. Thank you very much, sir. Most importantly, thank you to all of you listeners. I'll see you in 2 weeks. But until then, I want a fair fight. Let's not kick each other in the balls, okay? Peace.
This is the Jamal Show.
Down in
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal. This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal. Jamal. This is the Jamal Show.